Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
I need to take care of me. I want to share two things with you in transparency that are a little sensitive for me. Number one, Alpha Street, I need you to know something. I'm tired. And I'm tired in a way that one night of sleep ain't gonna fix. I'm tired in my soul.
That's the Reverend Dr. Howard John Wesley, senior pastor of the historic 10,000-plus member Alfred Street Baptist Church in Alexandria, Virginia. After 11 years at the church, he announced earlier this month that he is taking a sabbatical for 3.5 months, starting in January and returning in April. This is a cautionary tale for anyone who is dedicated to a job, a career, a vocation, or even family duties. Sometimes you just need to take a big break. But do you know when and how to do it? Well, tonight we're talking about work burnout and how to take a break. My guests are the Reverend Dr. Howard John Wesley of Albert Street Baptist Church and Deborah Owens, founder of Corporate Alley Cat. If you have a comment or a question about this issue, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Deborah, good to see you.
It's great to be here again, Harold. Happy holidays.
Thank you so much. Reverend, thanks for joining us on the program.
Hey, Harold, it's good to be back with you, sir. Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you so much. The same thing to you. Let me briefly talk a little bit about that sermon from earlier this month. I heard it.
Okay.
And it was always good. But I thought it was just really, really fascinating, because even though the latter part of this was you announcing to your congregation that you were taking this sabbatical, you really started, of course, from a faith perspective, but just talking about the importance of all of us taking a break. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, one, I'm glad you were there to kind of hear it.
I saw it online. I'm not going to lie. You know, I'm in Baltimore. I gotta watch you from Bedside Baptist.
Part of the family.
Okay.
We're grateful for all of our online family. You know, but the real model of it was asking itself, why in the creation narrative do we see God resting on the seventh day? Clearly, it's not because God is fatigued or tired or has lost omnipotence, but rather trying to model something to us. It's one of the first commandments God gives Israel, is to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And the Sabbath day has nothing to do with worship, Harold. When you really look at the word Sabbath, it means stop. It means cease. To be holy means to be like God. So here's the commandment. Stop and be like God. Right? That sometimes you have to stop. And the Lord speaks these words to people who are coming out of slavery. And the one thing slaves never get to do is rest. So what makes you free is your ability to rest. And the quote I lifted up that I still share today is that anything you can't take a rest from, you are ultimately a slave to. If you can't rest from it, you're a slave to it. And slavery is not God's will for any of our lives, which is why rest and pausing and stepping away is absolutely mandatory.
You've been in Alfred Street now for 11 years, and yes, 24/7, always on call. That's the life of a pastor. But you don't have to be a pastor to be on call for 24/7. You can have a big job, a little job. You can be the chief cook and bottle washer, owner and of your gig, and need to take a break.
Yeah. Well, one, let me say this. I think all of us who work get fatigued and tired. You're tired sometimes. Here, let's be honest. What makes you a professional, there's some days you show up on air when you don't want to, when you'd rather do something else. But that makes you the professional. You do it when you have to. And then the moment you realize, this is taking a toll on me. So for all of us, work doesn't just end when we take the uniform off. It doesn't just end when we leave the building. For many of us, it's still within our spirit and our minds. We carry it It affects our families. And there comes a moment when you have to realize this is wearing on me physically, emotionally, spiritually. My creativity is affected by it. And I've got to step back again. Look at the model of Jesus. And I don't mean to be over spiritual, but I'm a Baptist preacher. Jesus is in the midst of a magnitude of crowd that needs something from him, and he just walks away. There's still, the line is out the door of people that still need to be healed. And the Lord says, I'm just walking away and going to a quiet place to pray, because the only place I'm recharged is in my rest, in my renewal, in my reconnecting with the Lord. And I don't think as a pastor that I'm doing the people any good if I don't seek to model what Christ modeled for us and trying to live a life that encourages others to work themselves into their graves.
Mm-hmm. Deborah, talk to me about taking a break. And I'm not just talking about vacation, but I'm talking about taking a break from, in your particular field of expertise, taking a break from that corporate life, the career for, or to rejuvenate yourself.
So there's a couple of different things we can talk about when we say take a break. We have vacation time. We have personal time off. But, Harold, did you know that more than half of Americans don't use their paid vacation?
Why is that?
So there are a lot of different reasons. Some people feel like they're the only person who can do the job. It's just too much work when they come back. Is someone going to try to take their job while they're away? They can't get away from it anyway, so I might as well just stay here. So that's one of the issues out there, is that people don't take the breaks that they're entitled to. The other type of break is what I call when your body makes the decision for you. So every week I talk to people who call me who are in the corporate arena or other workspaces, and they are having physical ailments. Their jobs are killing them. They are making them sick. They have had hospitalizations, and they still won't take time off. So there are a couple of things you can do. If we're talking about burnout, where you are physically, mentally, and emotionally just depleted, many organizations have something called short-term leave. You can take that up to 6 months. Nobody gets into your business. Most people have third-party organizations, but that leave is there for a reason. People need to recharge. Harold, have you ever heard people, I have friends who say, you know, my doctor told me that if I don't slow down, my blood pressure was so high, I'm going to have a stroke.
Mm-hmm.
And people, I don't think, take that seriously. But I have seen people who have gotten severely damaged by their work lifestyle. Mm. It's not a joke.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about work burnout, when to take a break. If you have a comment or question about that, give us a call. You know, one of the things, Reverend, that you mentioned during the course of that sermon was you said you were tired, but you said you weren't exhausted. What's, in your mind, what's the difference?
Well, what I said was that I'm exhausted, but I'm not burned out. And for me, that exhaustion, that can be fixed. Burnout, for me, Harold, is when I've reached a place where I just don't want to do it anymore, where I've lost the joy for the job, where I've lost the excitement about the calling. And I wanted my members to know, and even those listening tonight, I am excited about pastoring. I love what the Lord has called me to do. I pray I'm able to do it for many more years to come. But if I don't pause now, I'm shortcutting and putting an end, a premature end, on my ability and capacity to do what I love to do the most. My health is at risk. I'm so glad, you know, that my co-host just spoke about it, that your body begins to take a toll from this. And I've seen so many pastors die immediately after preaching or in the pulpit, or wind up in wheelchairs, wind up having strokes, their blood pressure's high, and they've lost the joy, and now they can't do it. So I have plenty of joy for the job. I'm not burned out. I'm not quitting. I'm not walking away. There's no chance in the world I'm not coming back to Alfred Street. But I do need to pause and reset some things and edit some things out of my life. You know, they say it takes about 3 months to develop a new habit, right? So here I am trying to develop a new habit with working out, a new habit with diet, switching over to a plant-based diet. And I don't think with the stress of every day that I'll be successful in that. So I want to have that time to really reset myself so that I can come back stronger and longer to do the work I believe I've been called to do.
So as a Baptist preacher, we don't have to say the largest piece of fried chicken for you anymore.
No, you know what? And I hope to press upon the congregation that we're headed in that. Man, church food will kill you, you know?
Yes. Yes.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about work burnout, how to take a break. My guests are the Reverend Dr. Howard John Wesley of Alfred Street Baptist Church and Deborah Owens, founder of Corporate Alley Cat. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Tracy, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Tracy. What's on your mind?
Hi, I was calling to say, Pastor Wesley, I applaud you for wanting to take a sabbatical. It is nothing wrong with taking a break. I am a member of Apple Street. Mm-hmm. You married me back in 2015. And I just want to say that I've taken a break from my job. Earlier this year, I had to take Semla because I was so stressed out and my health was at risk. And I was stressed out because I work for bullies. So I just want to say I applaud you and continue to do what you do, and God bless you. Okay. Everybody needs a break.
Tracy, thank you so much. You talked, Reverend, about rejuvenating yourself during the course of that sermon, and you listed, I mean, you had a list of things that you were going to do. And if you could run through just a few of those, because I think that it's important for a lot of people to understand that when you are so dedicated to one task in your life, that other things are at a loss. For example, you talked about friends, your mom. Run through those things for me, please.
Certainly. I just want to let people know that there was a lot of intentionality and thought. This was not a spur-of-the-moment decision, Harold. This began in discussion about 2 years ago with my church leadership. The church was actually informed of it back in June. And since then, I've been just trying to map it out because, as Dr. Owen said, this isn't just vacation. This isn't just, oh, let me go sit on the beach somewhere. This is about really reshaping and changing who I am when I look in the mirror. So I have some spiritual goals. That's the very first one. To get back to spending my first hour of prayer on my knees, not running, not trying to get to a meeting. I want to read the Bible from cover to cover without having to worry about writing a sermon that I'm just reading for my own edification. There are other spiritual works that I want to read and get back to the practice of journaling. I've got some emotional things that I need to do within my own life, sitting with some of my mentors and allowing them to pour back into my life. And I've scheduled those meetings where I'm going to be going out of town to sit with those men and women who help shape me and pour back into me. I want to build my healthy Christian male friendships. I have friends around the world that I have not been able to spend any time with, and I find myself isolated. Someone asked me the other day, Pastor, if you ever got married, who would be your best man? And Harold, I couldn't think of one person.
Mm.
And I said to myself, that's not healthy.
Yeah.
That I don't have the Christian men in my life who I would call upon if the Lord ever reopened that door of marriage in my life. And it's not about marriage, it's more about not having healthy male friendships because I've made no investment because time wouldn't allow me to. All of my friends do things on the weekends and I'm working like a slave every weekend.
Yeah.
So I had to redo that. I've got physical goals. Want to get back to working out. I'm getting ready for my first marathon next year. Want to get back to running, going over to that plant-based diet. And then, as some people don't know, I'm in a PhD program, so I'm preparing for my comprehensive exams, and I need uninterrupted hours in the library memorizing works by scholars so that I can prepare to pass these exams. So it was very disciplined, Harold. I have targeted goals, and I need the time off to be disciplined to commit myself to all of them because the worst thing in the world that could happen is come Easter in April, and I go right back into the same pattern. And I can't do that.
Yeah. And maybe you can make a frat meeting or two.
Hey, you know what? I have missed many a fraternal meeting because they meet on Saturday nights, and I'm going to fix that too, Harold.
I need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to continue this conversation. We're going to talk to Evelyn calling from Arkansas. We're going to talk to Alan calling from D.C. So please do not hang up. Stay on the line. You will be able to hear the program. And the line is still open. We're going to continue this conversation on SiriusXM Channel 141 at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM Channel 141. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. More of this conversation on SiriusXM Channel 141 in just a few seconds.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU, and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are continuing our conversation about taking a break, work burnout. How do you know when it's time? My guests are the Reverend Dr. Howard John Wesley of Alfred Street Baptist Church in Alexandria, Virginia, and Deborah Owens, founder of the Corporate Alley Cat. If you have a comment or question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Alan, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Alan. What's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing? My question, I guess it really it's here with the pastor, is I actually have my mother-in-law is actually a pastor, and I do feel, you know, what he's saying, because I do witness her just travel so much when it comes to preaching. But my question is, I work two jobs. I pretty much work 7 days a week, and my commute alone is like 2 hours a day. So you talk about like 4 hours a day. So I guess when you work so much, like for me, I work a part-time job, and with my part-time, I do overtime. I'm about to have a child. So it's like, you know, you feeling the burnout coming. You know, you feeling, you know, like my eating habits are bad, but it's like you push yourself for financial reasons, for family. Like right now we have holidays coming up. Like I said, I'm about to have a child. I just purchased a home. So how is it, can you kind of, if you physically know, and sometimes even mentally know that it's a burden on you, but you know, if you miss that check, that's a bill that may not get paid, or a gift, you know, for a child, however you want to say it. I think that's just my problem. It's,
well, Alan, let me, if I can, let me see if Deborah can chime in on that. Go ahead, Deborah, because obviously, you know, we all need to work.
Yeah, yeah. No, the situation that Alan is talking about is very, very common. How do you take a break when you have to pay your bills if you don't have an organization that'll let you take time out? But what I would say is kudos to Alan for, one, recognizing that he's at that point. Because eventually, if you don't get intentional and make a decision now, your body will force you to make a decision. So maybe there are the couple of things that you can do, everybody can do, is sleep, eat as good as you can, stay hydrated, exercise. But what I would say to Alan, because this happened to me, is that I went for an extended period of time and I had all of the physical symptoms of burnout. But my mindset was, I'm going to plow through it. I'm going to tough it out. And then my body literally broke down, and the decision was no longer mine to take, which is why I applaud Reverend Wesley, because his feels a little more, proactive. Like, he's not waiting until his body is broken down and he's in the wheelchair, as he talked about. So to the person on the line, I would say, find some things that maybe you can let go of, deprioritize. But I think it is a challenge when people have to pay the bills. But think about it in the long run. Life is a marathon. It's not a sprint. You're not going to be any good to your unborn child if you're in the hospital.
And you know what? You know, Pastor Wesley, you know, Deborah was talking about your body will let you know, but sometimes your family will let you know too.
Definitely. And one of the things I would say to Alan is, you know, especially as workaholics, as either men or women, we don't ask for help when we need it. And one of the things I've learned to do is really acknowledge that sometimes I need help. Can someone else pick the boys up today? Can someone else do this or that? So I can just have a moment, even if it's just an hour, sitting in my car to just decompress before I go in, finding a way to shift some of those responsibilities. Because family is important, Harold. You know, I was sitting at dinner with my two sons, who are the greatest joys of my life, and realized that I had to leave them in the middle of dinner to rush back to church for a 6 o'clock meeting, that it wouldn't be over till almost nine, and that was almost my daily existence. And I'm missing the greatest moments of helping form my sons at the dinner table in conversation because I'm running into meetings. And something had to switch, and I'm grateful for the privilege of a church that wrote it into contract. So Alan said that his brother is a pastor. I hope that this sparks movement, at least in my own field with pastoring, for churches to realize we need to give this to our pastor. It is for her benefit. It is for his benefit. Let us write this in contractually to give them that space. There are endowments out there. The Lilly Endowment has tons of money they're sitting on to give to churches to help pay for their pastors to be on these sabbaticals because they recognize how critical it is. And I know that everyone doesn't have that benefit, but at least there's help out there, and I hope that everyone listening will avail themselves to that help. Dr. Owens mentioned it. Don't leave PTO on the table. Don't leave a single mental health day on the end of the calendar year. Take every vacation hour you have. It is ungodly for you to give vacation hours back to your boss. Absolutely ungodly.
Okay. Alan, thank you so much for your phone call. Let's go to Evelyn, calling from Arkansas. Evelyn, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I just wanted to tell Pastor Wesley that I listen every week to one of the services. I never miss a week, and I won't miss a week while you're gone because I know the church is in good hands. And I will be praying for you, and I know that things will work out really well, and we'll be looking forward to your return even stronger. So God bless you and your family, and I just hope you will relax and get the rest that you need. Because we'll be here, and we'll keep things going while you're gone.
Amen, and thank you. I don't know if everyone who's from Alpha Street heard what she just said.
Evelyn, thank you so much.
I just hope, I love what Reverend Wesley is saying, because I hope that it doesn't just encourage pastors, but the people in our community will look at him as a model and say, here is someone who people look up to, and he is being vulnerable. He's saying, I need help. I can't do it all myself. I need a break, because so many of us will not say that. We will not ask for help. We will not admit that we are falling apart on the inside, trying to balance everything. And so I hope that his words will spark a movement where people will invest in their bodies and they will listen to their bodies, and that there are some things they're going to have to come off the plate, and the sky is not going to fall.
Is that a concern of yours? I know that not just during this particular sermon, but you've said in the past you've been really, really transparent about staying healthy mentally, staying grounded, and making sure that your mind and spirit are firing on all cylinders.
Well, you know what, Harold? One, we as a people, especially people of color, mm-hmm. we're horrible about health care. Mm-hmm. Especially men. We don't like to go to the doctor to take care of our own bodies. So imagine how much more we neglect our mental health and well-being. Mm-hmm. I think one of the post-traumatic slave disorders is that we convince ourselves that we can never be hurt emotionally or mentally because we can't afford to. We have to keep pushing. So we deny our humanity, and our full humanity is not just physical. It's emotional, it's spiritual, it's mental. And we can be diseased in that as much. Mm-hmm. When I heard about Pastor Jared Wilson taking his life during Suicide mm-hmm. Prevention Month, it made me realize no collar, no title, no robe, no Bible grants you any immunity from mental disease and disorder. And so, Dr. Owens, I pray not only to be able to model something about caring for our bodies, but learning to care for our mental well-being, our spiritual well-being, our emotional. The first time sabbatical was put in my spirit was in my therapist session, sitting on that couch, speaking to that old white Jewish lady who said to me, you are going to press yourself into mental disease. Mm. And I knew I had to stop. That was over 3 years ago. But we must care for ourselves mentally.
I absolutely love this conversation, because another thing that people are afraid of is therapy.
Yeah.
And you have to get the help that you need. And I think, Harold, one of the biggest lies we tell ourselves, particularly in our community, is that I'm fine.
Mm.
That is not true in most cases, but that's a lie.
That's a preach right there.
Yeah.
That's a lie we tell ourselves, right?
Yeah.
Amen. No, but we tell ourselves, I'm fine. Your high blood pressure, your cholesterol, you're waking up with heart palpitations, you're sitting in your car for 30 minutes trying to muster up the energy to go in, you're not productive any longer, you're snapping at people, you have GI issues, your head is hurting. All of your systems are not working internally, but somebody says, how you doing? I'm fine. Everything's good. And I think Dr. Reverend Wesley is modeling for us. It's okay to say, hey, I'm struggling right now. I need to do some things differently. I'd love some support. Mm. Here's how you can help. Because, Reverend Wesley, I think one of the things that might be great for you to share as well is how we support people who do need help.
Yeah.
Right? How can we be that resource for them in this journey? Because it takes a long time for people to get the strength to be able to take a break. And career burnout, it doesn't happen overnight. Like he said, he's been talking about this for 2 years. It's something that's probably been going on for years.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead, Pastor.
Well, one, I think it's very important, as Dr. Owens was saying, one, let's take the stigma off. Let's stop pretending that we always have to be fine. Let's take the stigma off of getting therapy. It doesn't mean you're crazy or insane. It may mean you're about as intelligent as you can be to recognize that something needs to be addressed mentally. Even when I don't have a problem, I think too often we're always crisis-driven, that we're waiting for a crisis to acknowledge that we actually need some help. And, you know, there's nothing that triggered this. I'm not in any scandal. I'm not walking away from my pulpit. I'm trying to remove the stigma of that you can't walk away and say, listen, sometimes we need to address the reality of what we're really dealing with. So when you see people that are visibly upset, let's stop and ask, are you really okay? And if you get the I'm fine, no, are you really okay? Can I help you with anything? You know people in your family that are stressed out, that are burned out. Every symptom Dr. Owens just spoke about snapping on people, you know when you see that. Let's intercede for the ones we love and care about and say, hey, why don't you sit down today? Why don't you let me do that? Can I help you out? Do you want to talk? You know, and in church, let's press that this is okay. Most people are their most malleable. They can be shaped and plied by what they witness and see in church and what we preach and proclaim. That's why I think this is so important, because I have the ability to model something to people who are ready to receive it because they're in that spiritual setting.
Interesting.
So I'm grateful for this conversation. Grateful.
Well, I'm really glad that you agreed to have this discussion, because this is a discussion that really goes beyond Alfred Street. It goes beyond the church. Mm-hmm. This is beyond corporate America. This is beyond career. This can even apply to parents who are taking care of children with special needs, parents who are taking, or adults who are taking care of their parents long term, even, and I keep talking about parents who are just parents.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, it's so hard to disconnect today. You are on 24/7. If your work isn't texting you, your children are texting you, your you know, there's always something. And so I think the ability to find some quiet time to reflect, to pray, just to have some quiet, some silence is so important. But it's so hard to disconnect. I used to have people on my team who would say, hey, Debbie, I'm going on vacation, but I'll have my computer if you need to reach me. I said, if you're on vacation, I will not be reaching out to you. And I did that purposely, because I don't want anybody reaching out to me either. But I also want to model that when you go on vacation, I am not going to be reaching out to you. You should not be checking your emails. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're not on vacation.
Pastor, are you going to be able to do? Are you going to be able to do that?
Oh, definitely. You know what I've seen people do, Debbie?
Yes.
Ask this. Everyone who's listening, what's the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning? And if your answer is reach for your cell phone.
Absolutely.
To check, you are stressing. You're stressed out and don't know it.
Absolutely. Last thing you do at night, right?
Yeah. Yeah, listen, there's nothing on social media that important. There's no email that important. Start, listen, I'm not saying everyone has to do what I do as a Christian. Start your day sitting on the edge of your bed, deep breathing. Have a whole bottle of water. You're dehydrated in the morning. Drink some water, clear your mind, focus, meditate, devote, pray, whatever your spiritual practice would be. Feel yourself before you put on those shoes, before you get in the traffic of the beltway, before you deal with your coworkers who are wearing you out. Spend your first 10 to 20 minutes in the morning breathing in life.
Yes.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Nicole calling from Virginia. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Nicole, are you there?
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing just fine.
Hey, Nicole.
We are so proud of you.
Thanks.
First of all, I don't know how you've done it for so long. And just by going on the sabbatical, you have set so many people free from, you know, from slavery. And I can be a witness to that, that you've set me free. I've drawn the boundaries. I told my director, you know what? I have 2 weeks that I'm taking. Don't call me. Don't text me. Selah. So thank you. Thank you so much. God bless you, and I can't wait till you get back because I know you're going to fill us back up.
Okay.
God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you, Nicole.
Nicole, thank you so much for your phone call. Lisa, calling from Gaithersburg. Hey, Lisa, what's on your mind?
Hello. Good evening. It is an honor to speak to one of my favorite pastors. Dr. Wesley, I watch a sermon of yours every day. You are truly a biblical scholar. I was actually today composing an email to you to thank you for how you have helped me over some of my emotional hurdles. I honestly, the last year and a half, every day I watch one of your sermons, and now twice a day with the impeachment inquiry. And I will continue to pray for you. I'm looking forward to what God is going to do in you and through you while you are on this sabbatical, and look forward to your returning energized and full. But thank you so much.
Thank you. That means the world to me.
Lisa, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. One of the other issues, Deborah, is that there is a concern, and Reverend Wesley mentioned this in his sermon, that if you decide to take an extended break, sabbatical, even a vacation, the one that is in your contract, the 2 weeks that you earned, whatever, that some people are still afraid to leave because they're afraid that they may be replaced.
Well, here's the thing, Harold. If you get hit by a car tomorrow, they're going to have a warm body in that seat within 24 hours. You can be replaced at any point. That is fear. You cannot live your life based on fear. And one of the things Reverend Wesley said that I love is he said the ability to stop is the real power. And when I left corporate, it was a difficult decision. But I said to myself, I'm like, wait a minute, if you feel like this is bad for your health, you know you can stop. You can literally just stop. And that's what I did. I thought I was going out, Harold, for 2 weeks because I knew something was wrong. But I had a big job and we had a big lunch and I was like, oh, I can't leave. I was out for 15 months. That's how I had run my body into the ground. And then when, I don't know if this is Reverend Wesley or other people out there, one of the things I found out that I'm not alone on is I didn't have any hobbies because all I did was work.
Yeah.
And I took a nice 2 week vacation. But I said, well, what do you want me to do? What am I supposed to be doing? Relax. Do you have hobbies? No, I just work.
Yeah.
And so it's a good time now to reflect and think about, what does your life consist of? Is it just work? Is it work, family? Do you have something that you can go to that calms your mind, that energizes you? Because I think particularly in our community, we know how to grind and it is literally killing us. And there's no doubt in my mind that if I hadn't left, that my health would be significantly impaired.
Yeah.
You know, You know, Pastor, one of the things that you said during the sermon also, and this was just so profound, and as you know, a friend of mine say, that's a preach right there, where you said just because you work for God doesn't mean that you were close to God. Talk to me about what that means, not only for you, but for anyone who may be dealing with that within the church. I'm speaking, this is a faith question here.
Okay. So I'm about to say, let me qualify and say that, you know, my answer just comes out of my own faith tradition, respecting that there are those who have different faith traditions and some who have none but are yet spiritually minded. So from my perspective, Harold, one of the biggest deceptions of church, especially the more active you become in church, is that somehow work and worship are synonymous, that if I sing in the choir and teach in Sunday school, that's worship, and that I'm close to the Lord, simply because I'm doing all this religious stuff, all this holy stuff, and nothing could be further than the truth. I refer people to the instance when Jesus is at the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, and Mary is sitting down at Jesus' feet, and Martha's doing all the critical things that have to be done. She's engaged in hospitality and housekeeping and cooking and doing everything, and Jesus says, sit down. You're doing too many things, because religious things, although good, do not equate to really being connected with your Creator and the one who loves you and the one who died for you. And Harold, I've slipped into this place where I'm so busy with school and with kids and my mom that I crack my Bible open only to write a sermon. Mm. And my prayers are, I pray for other people 10 times more than I pray for myself. Mm. And
self-care.
Yeah, that's just got me, man. That's just really got me.
Mm. Yeah, that's. And so how do you plan to reconnect with God during this three and a half months?
Harold, that's easy. It's about discipline, right? It's about discipline. All of life boils down to that. So for me, during sabbatical, 7 to 8 a.m. is God's hour every day of my life. Mm. No interference. No, nothing. The boys already dropped off to school, and God has me alone for that 1 hour, whether that be in prayer, whether that be devotional, whether that be journaling. 7 to 8 is always God's hour, and then I'll see what we got to do for the rest of the day.
You know, you talk about, you know, your sons a lot, and this, again, is that cautionary tale for specifically fathers, but parents in general, where growing up, you know, I love my father to death. He's, 82, alive and kicking, just not kicking quite as high. But I remember, because he was ripping and running and ripping and running so much, that there were things that he missed in my life. There were conversations that if he had a chance to take a sabbatical or a break, that would have helped solidify the father and young son relationship. And I really think that this is incredibly important when it comes to your relationships.
Yeah, it is. You know, and to model, I don't want to just say manhood, to model good Christian humanhood to them, and that balance of knowing that the greatest gift I can ever give them is to be present. To just be there, you know, for when they want to speak, when they have anything going on at school, mm-hmm. when they're here at the house, to be totally present, not sitting here working all the time on sermons, and we just happen to be in the same space at the same time. That's not present,
right.
You know. And our greatest legacy, as every parent knows, is what you invest in your children. I don't care how much you make and what degree you put on the wall, your children are the greatest reflection of who you are.
But this is such a great such great modeling you're doing from your children, right? Because they see that they don't have to be Superman.
Yeah.
That it's important to invest in themselves, to take a break and recharge. And I think that's one of the best things that we can model for the next generation. So I absolutely love that. And Harold, one of the things that I want to say to the audience out there is you have more power over your schedule than you may think.
Say that.
Right? So I want to encourage everybody, if you felt any of these symptoms, if this conversation is resonating with you, have a conversation with your manager. Everything is not a priority. Sometimes we make sometimes we say yes to everything and your manager doesn't know that you're about to fall over the cliff.
Yeah.
Right? Because you're yeah, yes, I got it. No problem. Sometimes it's okay to say, hey, listen, here's what's going on. Can we reprioritize something? Can I take a day to work remotely? Can I do this? The other thing is, many companies have resources that are available to you at no cost.
Yes.
So you can get counseling and therapy. Check into those. Use those. Wellness in the workplace is a really big thing now, and a lot of companies are investing in programming. So make sure that you know all of the resources that are in front of you. And make sure that you're asking for help. Because I talk to a lot of people who say, you know, my boss is this, my boss. I'm like, did you ever have the conversation? No.
Yeah.
Have the conversation. And then if you find out that they're not amenable to that, then you might need to have another different type of conversation, right?
Mm-hmm.
But have those conversations.
Lisa, calling from Bowie. Thanks for calling, Lisa. Quickly, what's on your mind?
Good evening, and thank you all. I appreciate you for having this conversation. I'm a business owner and a business strategist and a business coach, and this is a really, really important topic mm-hmm. that I have conversations around with my clients about taking the time off, taking the time necessary to rejuvenate. But because we are reactionary, because we are not proactive in our own self-care, this is a really, really big issue. And I applaud you for talking about modeling, because I try to do that with my clients. But in the fast-paced world with technology and everything else, they just can't seem to slow down. So how do we touch and grab more people, more entrepreneurs, more business owners to help them understand this concept? And the importance of living beyond the moment.
Well, I would jump in real quick and say that as a business strategist, you know, the ability you have to influence, to allow people to realize when you're running around like that and burning yourself out and stressed, your creativity is at zero. And as an entrepreneur, if you really want your business to be successful, you've got to envision, you've got to dream, you've got to see outside the box. You've got to see the unprecedented possibilities. You've got to see this vision all the way through, and your mind will never operate at its best. Here's a prime example. When I tell people that, I know you're too tired. When you're coming to church and falling asleep, right? You're way too tired if that is the only time you've been quiet and can sit down and rest. So there's no way you're being refilled, and there's no way you're envisioning if you're not resting as well. So if you want your business to be successful, Harold, if I want my sermons to be fresh and a word from the Lord and not just some rehashed cliches and a revamp of the sermon you heard last week, I've got to be refreshed. And that means I've got to be rested.
Yeah.
The reason God calls Sabbath is, God says, listen, you can't worship if you haven't rested. Because if you get in a space of worship that's quiet and you fall asleep, you're too tired.
Right.
So it's not, if they're falling asleep, it's not the sermon.
No, of course not. Of course not. No.
But you know what, Harold? I just want to say that the other thing is to the caller is that there are some things that we can control. Just because somebody sends you a text, you don't have to respond right away. Because somebody sends you an email and they need something in 15 minutes, you don't have to give it to them. Of course, you know, if it's your boss or the president, within reason. But I think we have to do a better job of showing people how we operate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we have to set our boundaries. We're expecting other people to give us boundaries, but I think sometimes, like Reverend Wesley just said, 7 to 8.
Yeah.
That's, and I think we can do that in our personal lives, just a little bit at a time.
Real, you know, Deb, I've learned that whenever your job is done, there's still going to be work on your
absolutely
desk. So you don't have to get it all done every day. I think it's mentally empowering to walk into your office, to walk into your job and say, here are the four things
absolutely
I'm trying to get done today. And when these four are done, my work day is done.
You know, Pastor, I only have a few seconds left, but after you come back, do you think that you will now build in a mini sabbatical every year, every 2 years? Is that possible?
Well, you know what? Let me tell you the beauty of my church, Harold. It's written into my contract. Every 5 years, I'm eligible for sabbatical. For 6 weeks, every 10 years, I can take 12, but I can't accrue beyond that. So I'm not going to leave that on the table anymore. I'm at my 11th year, At the 16th year, I'll be taking another one. Promise you that.
Well, I want to thank you, first of all, for sharing this really important issue with us. And I'm sure that Deborah appreciates the honorary doctorate that you gave her from Alfred Street.
Thank you so much. I'm going to keep it, Harold.
Keep that.
So from now on, I'm Dr. Owens.
No,
That is right.
Reverend Dr. Howard John Wesley, good health to you. We'll see you when you get back. I know that your last sermon is going to be New Year's Eve, and then you'll be back.
Yeah. And I'll be back on Easter Sunday, sunrise service.
There you go. Deborah Owens, thank you so much. It's always good to see you.
Thank you, Deborah.
Thank you, Reverend Wesley.
That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141, for this Thursday, December 12th. I'm Harold Fisher. Now stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.